If you live in a Western democracy, you probably think your natural rights came from, 18th-century philosophers like Locke or Rousseau.
Right, the classic Enlightenment thinkers.
Exactly. But what if I told you they actually started with a 16th-century queen's deathbed wish and a bunch of medieval monks?
It's a pretty wild shift in perspective.
It really is. Welcome to today's exploration into the source material. We are looking at Luis Suarez Fernandez's deep dive into the secret architecture of Spanish identity. And our mission today is to see how the Catholic Church functioned, not just as a religion, but as the primary builder of the Spanish nation.
Yeah, Suarez Fernandez makes a bold claim here. He essentially argues that without the church, Spain just wouldn't exist as a unified idea.
Bridging the gap from Roman ruins all the way to the New World.
Exactly. I mean, you have to realize that after the Roman Empire collapsed, the Iberian Peninsula was just this chaotic map of local tribes and crumbling infrastructure.
Which is funny because the pre-Christian roots of Hispania, I mean, the Phoenicians literally called it the land of rabbits.
Right, I chafanem.
So you're telling me the foundation of a global empire was rabbits.
Well, the church had to do some serious heavy lifting to turn that into a civilization.
But did they just, I mean, was it an erasure? Did they bulldoze the Roman and Iberian past to make room for themselves?
Not at all. Actually, think of the church as like a cloud server that backed up Roman civilization before the physical hardware was totally destroyed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they didn't erase the past, they preserved the operating system, things like Roman law and Hellenic thought from guys like Seneca and Cicero.
Okay, so they were keeping the old code alive.
Precisely. When you look at the Council of Illiberis in Granada, they weren't just sitting around debating theology. They were coding the social DNA for the family and, the ethics that still underpin the culture today.
Which brings us to the Visigoths. Because most of us were taught they were just barbarians who rushed in to fill the power vacuum.
Right, but the year 589 seems to be the real turning point in these papers.
That's when King Ricardo converted, right?
Yes, from Arianism to Catholicism. And this is the crucial how behind Spanish unity. By converting, he stopped being just a tribal chieftain of the Goths.
He became something bigger.
Exactly. He became a sovereign for everyone, Romans and Goths alike, under one law and one faith. It is really the true birth of Hispanidad.
Wow. And while the rest of Europe was arguably offline during the Dark Ages, you have San Isidoro de Sevilla keeping the lights on. I've heard him called the Google of the Middle Ages.
Which is, a bit reductive,
Sure, yeah.
because Isidoro didn't just help you find information, he actively saved it. His etymologies were this massive backup of all human knowledge.
Right, the libraries.
Yeah, he preserved the trivium, so that's grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the quadrivium, arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy.
Basically, the foundational software for critical thinking.
Exactly. And because Spanish monasteries kept these servers running, they were the first to give Europe the number zero in Arabic numerals, the guarismos.
Okay, so the church is this intellectual courier, but then 7/11 hits, the Islamic invasion.
Yeah, a massive system shock.
I mean, it feels like that would have wiped the server completely clean.
It almost did. It's known as the loss of Spain, and it forced a total reinvention of their identity, which brings us to the field of stars, Compostela.
Okay, let's be real here for a second. You notice the timing of that is very convenient.
You mean the discovery of St. James's tomb?
Yeah, a miraculous discovery right when they desperately needed a military rallying cry. I mean, it sounds like a medieval PR stunt.
Well, it is really easy to see it that way, but Suarez Fernandez points to something deeper happening here, a massive shift in human rights.
Wait, really? Human rights in the Middle Ages?
Yes. The pilgrimage to Compostela introduced this concept of the new man. Through the act of penitence, the focus actually shifted to the individual's internal moral state. Their conscience.
Oh, interesting.
And that led to the rites of war, which were actual legal codes that protected non-combatants and limited brutality.
So it wasn't just about fighting, it was about creating a moral boundary in a really violent world.
Exactly.
It's like they were building a legal soul for the country while it was still under siege. And you see the final version of that blueprint in 1492, right?
You do. When Queen Isabel wrote her 1504 codicil, it was an absolute legal earthquake.
Because she recognized indigenous people as humans with natural rights.
Right. Rights to life, liberty, and property.
But wait, we have to acknowledge the reality on the ground was often horrific.
Yeah.
We're definitely not saying it was perfect. How can we call it a landmark if it didn't actually stop the exploitation?
You are totally right to point out that gap between the law and the reality. But from the source's perspective, the theological mechanism is what matters.
Because the church argued they had souls.
Yes. Because they had souls, they were protected by natural law. It was a standard that even a queen couldn't override. It turned theology into a legal leash for the state.
So it forced the empire to at least justify its actions against this moral standard of equality of souls.
Exactly. A standard that just didn't exist in other empires of the time. Without this influence, Spain wouldn't be a nation, just a collection of Roman fragments.
It is a fascinating legacy. We usually think of identity as something we just, you know, create in the moment.
Mm.
But these sources suggest it's more like an ancient library we've inherited.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Which leaves us with a final thought for all of you listening.
Mm.
In a world of fleeting digital bits, if Spanish identity was built on this massive effort to preserve knowledge, what is the library we are building today to protect our own future identity? Something for you to mull over.